the delay. Okay, so let's try to finish the topic that we were discussing, and then again we need to move quickly on to the other topics. As you can see, this is a massive topic, and it is a very interesting topic and a very important topic. We're discussing nothing less than Kedushas Yisrael. And okay, so we've discussed some aspects of this so far. First of all, a quick comment just on what we have already done. Yomid brought to my attention that what I suggested in the Tosfos Yeshanim in Yoma, and I think I did mention that the Ritva in Yoma says something very similar, but the language is even stronger. Do you have language with you?
Yeah,
the language is even a little bit stronger there, and worth, and therefore worth sharing. Go ahead. Yeah. So again, he doesn't say it, but even more than the language in Tosfos Yeshanim, the implication may be that we're not simply charting the different stages or the different phases, you know, of the, sincerity of the status of the kutim, but that maybe these different phases and stages themselves are part of the story of the complicated stature of the geirus of the kutim, namely the fact that they started off in a certain way. There were always certain question marks or certain ambiguities or ambivalence. And the fact that, Sofa, in a way, that maybe that is a factor. Again, it's not explicit. I do think, I've said it a few times, so it seems pretty clear to me and probably already to you, that, this is a very, very, again, this is a very important paradigm of the Kutim, according to the view of some Rishonim, that their status is complex. And because of that, understanding or narrowing or understanding more precisely what factors may have gone in to establishing this kind of more singular or complex status, becomes very important. So I can't prove this so much, although there are certainly hints about some of these factors. But I suggest, I suspect, Robbie. Okay, I suspect or suggest that there are two factors that may have been critical in the Kuti story. One, the fact that they were an entire nation, that they were a large group, and again, this idea that Lekula Lechumra, the dynamic of Kabbalah's Geirus, lightening and intensifying the standards, both coming in and then the possibility of an exit, which we'll discuss later, is different for individuals than it is for a group. And the second point, exactly this one, namely when there's a checkered, history, or when there's a complex history, that the possibility of there being kind of a larger time frame, in which this all gets played out, that's typically in a regular geirus, everything is the moment of the geirus. It's at that, moment that you measure, that you gauge at least, the sincerity of the convert and the, scope of his commitment, etc. And whatever it was then, again, even then there are multiple then, there's a mila, there's a tefillah, there's a kabbalah sol mitzvos, how do those things work out? That's an interesting question. But all things being equal, it's all pretty much concentrated. But if we're dealing with a group dynamic, and especially of the type that we're talking about, so the idea that, the assessment of sincerity or status is something that is spread over a longer period, or that you can lemafreya it, or maybe just, figure out, based on how it unfolds, all these things are mechudashim, but they explain a lot of the phenomena, assuming you take certain views in Kuti, whether these are just then the new norm, we just didn't know it until now, or whether they remain kind of more limited, this is a very crucial question. So my instinct is that it's possible that they remain much more limited. Okay, so, so far we discussed, the last thing that we were discussing, which I want to pick up with, is the idea that, in addition to the more obvious, more normal views, which is that Geri Emes, Geri Arayos are mutually exclusive, that one means Ger Gomor and the other means, Goy Gomor, and everything else that looks complicated is just about assessing and so on, we were investigating the possibility that there is a much more nuanced view, either according to the Mandamar Geri Arayos or according to the Mandamar Geri Emes. More likely according to the Mandamar Geri Arayos, but actually could be, and there are some echoes of it being in the other direction as well. So one possibility is that this expresses itself in a very limited fashion, like things like Losis Chatimbam. If you think that, that there can be somebody who doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael, the two the guy, but doesn't have an Isra of Losis Chatein, by virtue of the fact that there's no La Yasir, that's one possibility, as we had Tosa Rosh in the name of Minatam. It could also go in exactly the opposite direction. You could have somebody whose Kedushas Yisrael is complete, but because of the checkered or unstable religious posture, is somebody who, constitutes a threat in terms of environment. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about, Tinek Shenishba and, the importance of an environment of Yiras Shamayim and so on and so forth. These are critical issues. So the idea that you can have somebody who's technically Jewish but whose ideology or, stability is in terms of religious commitment and behavior is kind of toxic, very dangerous, to the people around him. So could there be a losis chatein under those conditions? This is also, by the way, an issue, I don't get to it right now. Is there a losis chatein for a mishumah? There could be two reasons for that. Somebody who is, we're going to discuss that status, of somebody who had full kedushas yisrael but had turned his back, Mumin l'Avarazara, Mumin l'Chalas HaShabbos, whatever the Mumin l'Kol HaTorah Kula, whatever he is it possible that even if you take the view Yisrael Afa Pishachata Yisrael Hu, that there's a violation of Los Hischati? That is a view in some of the poskim. And the question is, what does that mean? What does that imply? And like here with Kuti, there are two things you could say. One is that what we mean by that is that there really is some measure of lost Kedushas Yisrael that we'll get back to in just a second. But it's also possible that what it means is what we're talking about now, and that is that Losis Chatein, which is connected to, again, environment and, again, the interface of Arayos and of Avodah Zarah in some sense, is particularly hypersensitive, to people or groups whose ideology is toxic, not just, it happens to be, but as reflected by their behavior, in an objective and structured way. So if somebody is a mumar, the idea that there might be an Isra of Losis Chatein, even if he has full Kedushas Yisrael in other matters, which I say is a view of the poskim, if that doesn't mean legabe the Kedushas Yisrael of Ishas, it means a special din of Losis Chatein, that would be comparable to this. And that is how some suggest that we understand, again, the parallel opposite of the Rabbeinu Tam. Not that the Kutim are not Gerim, but since they're Shomer Mitzvos and they're Medaktik and some Mitzvos even more than Klal Yisrael is, so there's no problem of, Lo Yasiru. But this is the idea that, the parallel opposite, that is the problem. And the truth is that this is a view also with regard to Sheva Amamim, discussion between the Ramban and the Raiviv and others. Right? If you have Gerus of Sheva Amamim, but there still might be even the Gerusan, an Isur of Los Hischate. And again, it could be explained in one of those two ways. So that's one aspect of it. And then, of course, the second aspect is the idea that there really is a miktsas gerus, and to split that up in terms of ishus, and in other words, knisa lekahal, and chiyuv mitzvos and shmiros mitzvos. And again, some people talk about it in terms of, let's say, chiyuvim and isurim. Maybe that's the distinction. I think more likely it's kedushas ishus and knisa lekahal, as opposed to personal chiyuvim. Again, whether it's ishus and the rest, or it's, you know, tzibur versus yachid, I think also is a little bit tricky. But this is an important distinction. That comes out of the Meiri, when he talks about the givonim and the kutim, what we read the other day in Ksuvis. And many achronim think that that's what Rashi means, or others. You know, when they talk about kutim not being gerim, gemurim, etc. And as I say, this has other expressions too. This idea that you can be a ger and have kedushas yisrael and chiyuv mitzvos daraisa, you know, but that there's no heter knisa l'kol. No heter knisa l'kol doesn't also translate as ein kedusha of kedushin, right? That's also something that needs to be determined. But that's the idea, at least for the Meiri. So where else do we have this idea? So as I say, we have it. I'm not going to go into each case, but just to be aware of them. I think I mentioned some of them already. One is in the time of the Mikdash, when there was a karban for Geirim, Hartzaz Damim. So let's say you had Mila and Tvila, or in the case of the Keva, let's say you had a Tvila by Beli Hartzaz Damim. So the Gemara in Krisos, Sugya Krisos, seems to say that that would have impacted the Heter Knisa L'Kahal. There's 2 days in the Gemara where they're only Heter Knisa L'Kahal, or also, Hechsher, Havas Karbanos. But either way, certainly that. And many of the Achronim explain, Rav used to explain it this way as well, but many, I think, explain it this way, that apparently there are really two dinim, or if you look at the components of Geirus, like you can break them up. The truth is you might break them up in 3 or 4 different ways, but let's say, broadly speaking, there are some requirements or ingredients of Geirus which have to do with Hechsher Geirus. They're magdir, what constitutes a ger. Without them, there's no Geirus. And then there are chiyuve Geirus. People say this in different ways. It doesn't really matter so much. I think it's mostly the same. Mitzvos Geirus, or chiyuve Geirus. And the point is that when you have Hechsher Geirus, but you don't have the full comp, you haven't fulfilled the chiyuvim of Geirus, right? So then that expresses itself, in certain aspects of your Knisa L'Kahal. And so that's the case of Artzaz Damim. There's a big discussion in Mamachronim, like what happens if, Bizman HaMikdash, you were a ger, you did, Milo Tvila, there was no Hartzaz Damim, and then you experience, you live through the Korban. And there's no longer such a din. After the Korban, right, Hartzaz Damim is no longer ma'akev in this area. Either because the Tvila doubles, or more likely, because if the mechayev was that you've, neglected the chiyuve geirus, or remaining chiyuve geirus, you're no longer neglecting that because it's no longer possible. But what happens when you neglected it, right, and now, had you done it now, there wouldn't have been a neglect. So that's a big discussion in the Achronim. Again, there's a famous tshuva in the Zecher Yitzchak. He is very big. Maybe if you get a chance to look at it, maybe I'll run through some of it quickly another time. But Aleph, Chelek Aleph Simin Chav Ches, I think, or Chav Tes. But he's very big on this whole idea that there are two aspects of Geirus. There's Geirus for Ishus and Geirus for everything else. But that's a very important paradigm, this fact of Hartzaz Damim. But the idea that this might also be the case for the motivation of Geirus, or the formal declaration of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, or different levels of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, namely that you could be a ger, legabe certain things, but not be a ger legabe heter knisa l'kohol, is another possible expression of it. That's how the Rambam maybe understood. The Rav understood that the Rambam in Hilchos Isurei Bia, which I'll get to in a couple of minutes. Did I bring it? Yeah. Is saying something like that. The Rambam seems to be talking about some sort of limbo state in Geirus. Rav thought that's what it was. And this also could be, you know, the idea, I think I mentioned this also in the past, there's a whole discussion in the Rishonim regarding Shita Sarif. Let's say you did, a Tvila, but Shalom Bifnei Bezin Shel Gimel, L'Shem Geirus. That again, there are some Rishonim understood that what the Rif was saying is that there's some sort of geirus, but not a full geirus. Again, a geirus may be legabi chiv mitzvahs, but that there's no heter knisa lekohol. So once again, that might highlight this concept, this idea, and that's how some people understand. As I said, also that eved va'akum haba al bas Yisrael. That the Vlad is the Yisrael, and yet some Rishonim, including Rashi, think that you need an additional Geirus. So what's additional Geirus if it's the Yisrael? So some say it's a Dindrabanan. There's a whole bit of literature on these, a couple of Rashis and some Tosasim. But again, the Rav certainly liked the idea, as do some of the other Achronim, that what we're talking about is two different aspects or two dimensions of Geirus. Geirus Lagabi Ishus, Geirus Lagabe Chiyuv Mitzvahs. So the Meiri's idea about the Givonim and the Kutim is something that has very strong echoes and, of course, implications of, you know, Kedushas Yisrael having an additional higher, let's say, requirement when it comes to Ishus is a, the implications of that are obviously very, very, very significant. Okay, so this idea of the Kutim, being, or the Givonim, being somewhere in between, or having, some stats, some dinim yes and some dinim no, is also expressed in one other makar that we didn't get a chance to look at yet, and that is the Tosas Yishanim I wanted you to look at in the other Tosas Yishanim in Yuma, regarding Trumos. So somebody saw that? Hoodie, you saw that? Didn't say it? Did I give it? I did give it. Yeah. Chai? Saw it? Also, just on also an interesting, a very interesting language as well, in addition to everything else. That's the one on Nun Vav Amud Aleph? Is that it? What? Or Nun Vav Amud Beis? On the Amud Beis. Starts on Nun Vav Amud Aleph, right?
Yeah, but even though it's starting on Amud Aleph, they say that it was supposed to start on Nun Vav.
Ooh. Okay. But it's always sort of disappointing when they tell you that, right? Yeah. Anyways, it's printed on Nun Vav Amud Beis. You have it? The Od Hiksha. Okay, the Kasha doesn't matter so much. The Reb Shimon Islay the Perika Omer, the Ksub Geiri Arayo saying, the Islay the Mesechas Trumos. Right, the Nachri Lesa Betruma Denafshe. In Cain, Ma Moel Masha Ifrish. Abdinir Teretz Rishon, etc. Fine. Avazu Kusha Achrona Ein Nirali. You have it?
Yeah.
The Kutim Shaini.
Below midkar kudish, mamina the modem ba the turbato midama. So apparently, I've shown.
Thinks that there is some chalos truma for a kuti.
The taima, even shiger who the yadul takin ats mamiad, we've been a bris karin on bet.
Wow. So it sounds like what?
Even though he's Gary Arios.
Even though it's Gary Arios, Arios, whatever you want to call it. Right.
He still has truma.
Definitely not Arius with the iron, but Aries. Right. Right. His truma is truma.
He's Ben Briss.
Because he's a Ben Briss. Because Biyado Latake Natsmo. What does that mean?
Apparently he can just become a Jew without any dinner.
Yeah, so it's really not clear exactly what this is. Right, again, we're on the lookout for any kind of you know, interesting configuration. And again, we should also not, you know, get too carried away. Again, the standard view still is that, you know, it's a more straightforward question whether kutim ageri are gerim or not gerim, end of story. Right. But we're trying to show is that it isn't a fluke, you know, view here or there. There's tons of conflicting evidence in Chas, and there's quite a few views and comments of Rishonim and of Achronim, you know, that are seeing some sort of a, you know, more complicated status. And where that complicated status, how we express that, you know, and where we draw the line in it, we're seeing quite a diverse group in that. But obviously this is a critical topic, and therefore all of that is important. So this Tosfos Shanim is also important because it's basically saying that Truma, you know, depends on being a Ben Bris. It sounds like you're not really a Ger, but you have the, you're on the way to being a Ger. You're not a full Ger, right? But Biyodcha Letaken is, it sounds like there's a process, you know, that's open to you. You're Omed Lios Ger. And the fact that Yochol Letaken Atzmo, whatever that means, maybe by dropping, you know, whatever, you know, is the impediment to your full gerus, so that is going to determine, you know, that even now you're a Ben Bris. In a way, in a little bit of a way, you know, this is maybe the opposite of what I was suggesting for some of the others, you know, which is that for the others, you know, you have, because it is a different scope too, you have, you know, as an individual, you have gerus, but betorah, somebody who's can, you know, who's going to be, you know, be forming building blocks for Klal Yisrael, meaning ishus or knisa lekahal, right? For that, we're not letting you loose on the tzibur yet, right? And here, maybe it's kind of the opposite. In other words, the problem is we're accepting you as bnei bris, and you have the potential to turn yourself into a ger. And maybe the issue in Truma is that, you know, atem gam atem, you know, it excludes the non-Jews, but, you know, maybe you don't have to have full Kedushas Yisrael either, as long as you have, as you are Ben Bris, and the ability, you know, to achieve that, kind of the Mechusar Maisa, without undergoing a new act of Geirus, is sufficient for that. Again, I'm speculating a lot. I'm going to speculate on other things, too, in just a minute, but it's not, you know, because I do like to speculate. Should admit that. But it's neat on the speculation because we just don't know. There's just a lot of unknowns here, a lot of undefined issues, but fascinating ones. So that too is another chiluk, just like we found los ischatein, trumos, a few other things as well, where possibly we distinguish. Okay. So that is that's what this is all about. Some people suggest, as I mentioned, and this has some roots in the Yerushalmi, the question is what we mean by it, and we'll get back to more of it in a minute, that to look at the kutim as a safek. I mentioned that before, the Yerushalmi Brachos and others. And some of them want to link it up with this Rambam that you should just be aware of. I'm not going to go into it right now, but we were learning of Amos and, you know, extensively discussing in Yanei Geirus, which would be a great thing to do, but we're happy that we're learning Chulin. That clear. The Rama Menachos Yisroel Bia, Yud Gimel Tesvav, has a very well-known and very controversial formulation, controversial in the sense that people aren't really sure what he means by it. Rama talks about this question of motivation. Right, and as I said the other day, the truth is that motivation can mean more than one thing. Right, as motivation may or may not touch on the sincerity of the fundamental sincerity of your beliefs and your commitment. Let's assume for the moment you can make a practical commitment, you know, while being cynical and insincere. Okay, that's one extreme. It's hard to believe that isn't going to undermine Geirus, although I can't know for sure if everybody thinks that it does. In the other, you know, direction, you can have people whose you know, not only commitment, but their ability to, the purity of their belief, you know, doesn't have to be affected by the fact that they have ulterior motives for what they're doing. Because I can believe that, you know, the Jews, you know the truth, you know, that their Masorah is authentic and genuine, you know, that that is the most maximal, you know, way, you know, to live a meaningful human life, right? And I can still say, however, you know, I wasn't born into that, and this, therefore, you know, it's not my job. But, you know, there's also something called Bnei Noach and Ber Toshav and so on. And, you know, the only reason that pushes me, let's say, to, you know, to actually sign up, you know, is Mishum Ishus or Mishun, you know, Shulchan Malachim or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you know, notwithstanding, again, that could still be a problem, just like the other extreme could still be okay, maybe. But, you know, the first extreme is probably, you know, not just a motivation problem. And this motivation problem, you know, is probably a lesser, you know, or non-problem. And in between is something, you know, where you're not cynical exactly, but, you know, you're... You know, the ulterior motive isn't just what presses you, you know, to sign up, but the ulterior motive is what kind of pushes you, you know, to look at the world, you know, in a different way. And anyway, so the Rambam discusses this problem of motivation, which I say is a little more complicated than it might seem. And he talks about, you know, the wives of Shimshon and Shlomo. So the famous Rambam, Yud Gimel Yudalit and Tezvav, right, Al Yale, very, very long. Al Yale al Da'atcha Shimshon HaMoshiach Yisrael Shlomo HaMelech Shenikra Yedidka Nasu Nashim Nachrios B'Giyusan El Asona Davar Kachu Shemitzvah HaNechona Right, Kishayavo HaGer HaGioris LiHizgayer Botkin Akrov Shema B'Glal Mamon Sheyital B'Shvil Svara Sheyizkala Pnei HaPachad Boli Kones Ladas Bim Ishu Botkin Akrov Shema Einav Nasan Beisha Yehudit, Bim Isha he, right, Shema Aineha, you know, Nasna, Bibachur mi Bachura Yisrael, right, Imlo Nimsalahem Ila Modinosan, Kovid Ola Torah, Vitorah Shiesh Basias, right, Basiasa, Alami Aratos, right, Kidei Sheyefroshu, Im Kibib Lo Pirshu, Rose and Chachazu Meava, right, Mikabunosan, Shenemar, and so on, Batarki, Misametzes he Lalachasita, right, Rus, Matechadal, Daberi Lah. The Fichlo Kibla Bez and Gerun call you made David Shlomo, be made David Shema Minapach of Chazru, be made Shlomo Shema Bishrila Malchus, Vatova Hagadola, right, Shahayuba Yisrael Chazru. Shakala Chazru Minagayim, Bishril Dover, Mehevle Haolam, Enom Migere Hatzedek. Ah. So now comes tricky. He's not a Ger? Not saying that. But he's not Migere Hatzedek. There are levels of Gerus. And if there are levels of geirus, do they have any impact? Yapa pikein, hayu geirim harbe mizgairim b'mei David Shlomo b'nei Adyotos. Meaning, from a policy point of view, right? We only want really motivated, sincere converts, right? But there were people who, you know, went through back channels, and the geirus was still legal, right? Hayu bezin hagadol choshishin lahem. Lo dochinosam achashatavlu mikomakom velo mekarvinosam achatira achrisam. So what is that exactly? Like, they kept them at arm's length to see what would happen. So is it just to measure, you know, their sincerity, or is this an unfolding of a geirus shlema? And are there consequences? Meaning, otherwise they're goyim. Or otherwise they're geirim, but without heter knisa lekal. But lefisha gear shlomo nashim and the son v'chein shimshon gear v'nasa hadavi yadua shelo chazru elu ela bishul davar v'lo al pi bezin girum chazru nakasav kilehin goyos ubi suranomdim. But od shochiak sofan al tchilasan shem ovdos avarazara shalahen bundalahem bamos v'hel alav akasuv kilu b'naan. Right? Tivne Shlomo Baba. Ger shel abad ku akrabo shelo diu amitzos va'onshan umal v'tavol b'fnei gimel. Or is a ger afil notish b'shvil davar umizgayer. Kol umal v'tavol yotze mechlal agoyim v'choshin lo ad shi'iz bayer tzikuso. Every one of these Rambams are unclear. V'afil chazar v'yabar v'anazara harik yisro mishumat shekidush v'kidushin umitzvah lahachzer avedaso machar shetav al nasa ki yisro. So, what do you make with all this? What is the Rambam really saying at the end of the day? He's talking about policy and accepting Geirim? You only want to accept Geirei Tzedek, but if you don't, they're all Geirim anyway? As long as they underwent the process and were Mekabel Mitzvos Betochen? Or the opposite? But if it really turns out, or something in between. So there are those who suggest that we look at the Geirim of the Kutiim and the Givonim in this way as well. But the question is, what do we mean, Sofan Hochiach Altkilasa? And is that Sofan Hochiach Altkilasa and Lamafreya? Right, if it's really to try to gauge, but it takes a long time to figure out what was at the critical moment, right, then it's not such a Chiddush, although it's very challenging policy, but at the end of the day, the real issue is, at the critical moment of the Geirus, what was the level A of sincerity, if that's what you mean? Motivation, sincerity, and especially also the content of commitment. But is it possible, you know, that it's something else going on here? That is, that it isn't a Igloin Bilsalam Afrey alone. It's like they're like, you know, trial Geirim, or Geirim who's just inherent by the way the Geirus came about, where you don't have an immediate answer. And that might be the issue in the Kutim, as we'll discuss as well. Okay, so having said all that, Shechita certainly turns out to be one of the manifestations of Geirei Arayos. And we discussed the importance of that as well. Okay. I should also mention that the Meiri, who in Ksuvas says what he says, also in Makos and Chesed Beis, seems to take the view that Kutiyim have some elements of Kedushas Yisrael. Some understand that the Meiri actually paskins that Kuti Geiri Arayos. Most are shown in paskin that Kuti Geiri MS. Also a point. On the other hand, in other places, the Meiri does seem to say that they do not have Kedushas Yisrael. So is that because, you know, again, he makes different distinctions or just different views in different places? The Meiri's view is something that you know, that requires a little bit of further analysis. Okay, so now I want to go to the last part of this because I don't want to linger more than we need to, and that is on the Daf. The Davav, you know, part of the sugya. Zach, if you don't mind, just to get us there once again. And that is, of course, an equally, or maybe even more, of a fascinating phenomenon, although, according to my suggestion, the two may be linked. And that is what, Zach? What are we talking about on Vav Menalef? The what? Achanasu, Acha Gazru, Vyasom, Kegoyim Gemurim. Meaning questionable entrance into Klal Yisrael, right, in terms of sincerity, in terms of content of commitment, in terms of consistency of behavior. All those things are part of the story of the Kutim, for sure. And everything that we've discussed along with it. But the Vav Amud Aleph part is actually, you know, very shocking and very unusual. And that is the idea that you can cancel, you know, that you can take away Kedushas Yisrael. Or so it appear. So again, what we need to understand, we're going to have Zach read the Gemara quickly, because although we've had it read before, but just very quickly again, we need to understand the different stages in this part of the story and the different motivations for what happened. But we also need to understand, especially, like, what is this? And again, in the extreme, right, you might say that, you know, this is all policy. If you say it's all policy, it's still unbelievably fascinating, right? It still says a lot about, you know, what's acceptable and not acceptable. Even as policy, the idea to treat Jews, you know, as if they have no Kedushas Yisrael, is a shocking and, you know, very extreme measure. So that in itself, that's, you know, the best scenario, you know, it's shocking in that way. But at least, if you interpret it that way, so maybe you can argue, you know, that, you know, there are no other, you know, implications. Nothing complicated about it, it's policy. If we think this is a din d'oraisa, right, and it's not just policy, I mean, it's really change in status, that requires, you know, an understanding. Like, how do you change status? You know, it's one thing to be able to tell people prescriptively, you know, to do this or to do that. Yesh koch biad chachamim, lachar davar min haTorah b'shev al tasa, is often understood to mean, not always understood to mean, but often understood to mean, not that Sheval Tasa allows you to do Akira Stavar Min HaTorah, you know, in a, definitionally, but that, you know, you can prescriptively tell people, you know, not to do things. You know, stay home. Don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Okay? So there are things that, you know, prescriptively that you can impose on a group. Obviously, with a heavy heart. But if we mean more than that, if we're talking about, you know, changing definitions, like, how could you do that? Like, what would be the basis for that? Yesh koch biad chachamim, that's the problem. Lakor bekum basay. And it's even more than that if we assume that a change in status took place, like you have, you know, vacated somebody's Kedushas Yisrael. Like, who can do that? Like, how is that done? Okay. So this is a big question. This is a very important question. Some of the things to think about along the way also is, as I say, the different stages of the Gemara. As we'll read them in just a second. But just to think also, you know, about whether or not the different things that were applied are of the same quality. By which I mean, what impact, what is the relationship between how much, you know, was taken away, right, and the nature, you know, of what was taken away. As if I say, oh, kutim no longer count for a minyan, or kutim are no longer allowed to marry a bas yisra. Or from now on, when kutim touch yayin, we're going to treat it as stam yeinam or yayin nesach. Okay? Those could be, again, those could be policy decisions in a narrow way. Going from there to say, or kutim no longer count as Jews, legabe iruve, you know, chatzeros. Okay. That's different than if I say, you know, the, you know, Ad shegazru v'asom kegoyim gemurim lechol advar. Right. So one way to look at it is, well, you know, it's just a difference in quantity. Originally they took away two things, and then four things, and then everything. But we also understand, you know, that, you know, when it's a few things, then we can understand it in a narrower way. And when it's everything, you know, maybe what we're really saying is that originally they were involved in policy, and now, or at that point, they took away the Gavra status, they took away Kedushas Yisrael from the Kutim. So the question of what the effect and what the significance of Bittul Kedushas Yisrael from the Kutiyim were at the different stages may be qualitatively different. Okay, that's one question, the question of the relationship between the scope of what was done and the nature of what was done. Again, not Murchok, he could say anything about any of them, but certainly more appealing. The second question, of course, is to try to figure out, as we'll see in a moment, what the Miut and Rav Meir factor right in this sugya is all about. But Pashtus, the whole Gemara is Tamua, as we'll see in a minute. Rav Meir is Choshesh L'Miut. We don't pasuk like Rav Meir. Even for Rav Meir is Choshesh L'Miut. It's not like we say Miuta Kekula. That's not the sheet of Rav Meir. Right. Just says we're Choshesh L'Miut. The idea that somehow, that is Koveya Lagabe all Kutiyim. So again, if you're talking about policy and applications in a narrower way, so you can say, okay, well, even if you're Choshesh L'Miut, so then you can no longer allow this. Right, and you can no longer rely on that, because the whole point of Choshesh L'Miut is that we're machmir L'Miut. Okay, but if we're talking about not just being Choshesh, but Agzera Vadois, especially one which cancels Kedushas Yisrael, which affects not only actions but definitions. So how does that ever get done through Rami Meir? What does that have to do with Rami Meir? Okay. And what changed, between one stage and the other? So let's look, go ahead, Zach, if you don't mind. Yeah, on, the relevant parts, according to your judgment. Wait, where'd you start? My time goes with Rabbanan. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Samta Sakim Bluacha, go ahead. Yeah, so this idea, the idea of Choshishin Lemiyuta, that's what I was just saying a second ago. Koshin Lemiyut is understandable, right? But the idea of Goza Ruba Atu Miyuta, I guess if you don't have a mayor, then you can't have the second, but one is certainly not obvious to the other. Do you have to be an advocate of Rabbi Meir? This is an interesting question that people discuss. Do you have to be a follower of Rabbi Meir in order to say Goza Ruba Atu Miyuta? Are you? What do you think?
Not necessarily.
Right, not necessarily.
Yeah. He's very positive about the fundamentally different day. If it's a policy discussion and whether or not, and just policy, we want to distance ourselves from Kutiyim, then you don't have to have the halachic principle quotient.
Do you have to have at least an appreciation that Rav Meir thinks Choshen L'Miyuta in order to say it? I'm asking a little different question.
Yeah,
words.
We need that
appreciation for Rav. In other words, maybe we're cholek, we don't pasuk like him. But if there were no Rav Meir, it was Chayish L'Miyuta, then maybe we would never be Gozer, Ruba Atu Miyuta either.
If it's a policy discussion, though, then you should never even have to get to that, because you should just be able to decide what the policy should be based on the evidence. Meaning,
what I'm really asking is this. In other words, Pashtus, again, this is very Mechudash. I'm just really trying to point out what is Mechudash about all these Gemaras, and this particular Gemara at the moment. Rav Meir's halacha is a din in Choshesh L'Miyuta, as I said. Typically, we don't think that, it also is not logical to say, like you might say Ruba Kekula, we're not going to say, Ruba Kemiyuta. I mean, why would you say Ruba Kemiyuta? That's just, doesn't make any sense, right? But to be Choshesh L'Miyuta, I want to take a risk, even, as long as Miyut is not Keman D'Leisa. Miyut is Keman D'Isa. So being choshesh for it is legitimate. How you know, how risk averse are you in the world of Torah and Halacha? Right? Like we discussed already, you know, Sfeikat Daraisa L'Chumra, Sfeikat Rabbanan L'Kula, are those Daraisas, are they Drabanans? Is default everything Asur, default everything is Mutter? Right? Either way, all I'm saying is there's a leap already. It sounds like there's a leap in the Gemara. There are two assumptions. Number one, we accept Rabbi Meir. And number two, I mean, everybody who accepted this takana was held like Rabbi Meir. The Rambam in the Tshuva actually says that, you know, even the people, it sounds like he says, that the people who normally didn't pass like, they pass like Rabbi Meir, legabe, this din. Like, what does that mean? Right? Oh, so that's where my formulation of a second go came in. And that is, you can disagree with Rabbi Meir because you can hold that miuta is command delays. I don't mean in the numbers, let's say, alpi din. Right? But you could also say, you know, that yesh dvarim bego for Rabbi Meir. There's something about Rabbi Meir which is true, and that is that a miut is chashashable, meaning there's a chalos miut, right? It's not kamandalesa. Just because it's not kamandalesa, it doesn't mean that when it comes to policy or halacha or whatever, right, that we have to, that it has to be defining, right? It makes more sense to say, you know, that we'll go by the rove than it does by the miut, but the miut is a chalos. If you hold, like, if you say, we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, right, but we accept the yisod of Rabbi Meir, right, that miuta's command alesa, that miuta's not command alesa, you know, Rabbi Meir says two things, right, miuta's command isa, and choshishim lo. And typically the Rabbanan either say miuta alpidin is command alesa, right, or the makom rov. You know, I'm not talking about the practical threshold of the latest on Suffolk, I'm talking about Alpidin. And number two, right? But they say, so if that's the case, then you can get something which I think is what the Rambam is saying, which is that originally when we inspired by Rabbi Meir, they made a gzera, right? Even the people didn't elect Rabbi Meir, accepted the gzera how do they put it? Of gozaruba atamiyuta. You know, that's what I mean. You can appreciate Rav Meir, that there is a Rav Meir, ad kedei kach, that from a gzera point of view, right, you could do this.
Yeah, I mean, some people said the exact, like the Ramban quotes it there, that's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. That's his disagreement with Rashi. So we're going to get that in just a second, 100%. So Rabbi Gamliel, go ahead. So meaning, Nami Krab Meir Sfirulei that Chayshin Lemuat? Or also agreed with him on this din, even though they weren't? That's what I'm essentially raising. This is a big discussion, right, about this Gemara. So I think the Rambam and a Tshuva, I wrote it down somewhere. Where is that Rambam? Tuf Mem Tes? That's right. In the Blau edition. You know Yoshua Blau? That three-volume Tshuva Rambam? Yeah. So he says, we paskin like Rabbi or legabe this din when it comes to Ayin Nesach. What does that mean? I mean, we don't paskin like him generally. That would be the explanation. There's a chalos called miut. And Legabi this did, but the question is why? Like all of a sudden, why are we doing it? Why is Rav Meir even paskening not only the Choshin Lemiut, but Gozaruba Atamiuta? It sounds like, I mean, it's a Gzera, for sure. It sounds like there's something more at stake. Okay. Go ahead. But a nice little, like, you know, Rebbe Talmud thing here. Like, ease up on the Rebbe, you know. Go ahead. Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Yosef, go ahead.
did the video saying Shadi Rabba last week and so I asked him to say, but then he next time showed me Torah. Rabba Rabbi Yitzchak was sitting with Sibra Dvar and Nehra Rabba. Rabba Rabbi Rabba was sitting with Dvar and Nehra Rabba. Rabba Asi, but let me show my child, so I'm going to come to Dvar.
The language is strong, right? The other one was Gazar Lehem. Here it's Acha Asom of the Kochavim Gemurin. Okay, Lamai. So this is again a curious point in the Gemara. Like why weren't they Makabel? We'll read the Ramban inside in just a second. Zach? What does Rashi say? Why weren't they Makabel? Fascinating Rashi. Very controversial Rashi. What? Pull it up? Oh, you don't have the text in front of you? You have the digital text?
I think he's doing it by memory.
What?
I think he must have been doing it by memory.
The whole thing. Amazing. Tani quotes Schultes by heart. Zach quotes Gemara's, but apparently not Rashi's by heart. The Schultes was before Rashi, it's an earlier text. Whoa. What's that? Yeah, so you know, a lot of the Achronim were like scandalized by this Rashi. Like what? It's a little difficult to, you know, to turn your back on the Kutim. You're supposed to in principle, but it's like, you know, like he's my next door neighbor. You know, he's my dentist. A good Samaritan. I'm a good Samaritan. That counts for a lot. But so what does it mean? La rotzer la kabel aleim lifra. I just looked last night around to see who. So the Tzlach says, like, I don't understand. Like, these people didn't have enough Yerush Shemayim to, you know, to follow the principled position of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir. Right? Ah. So the Ramban, we'll read the Ramban inside in just a second. Zach, you saw it?
Yeah.
Ramban does not interpret like Rez and like Rashi. We'll read the language in a minute. And he says, no, that what the change is, there were what?
In the later generations, there were more
Makulko. There was, according to Ramban's understanding, he quotes Yerushalmi, we'll see what the Yerushalmi really says, there were more Makulko. So the way Ramban understands it is, it was no longer a miut. As the Chiddush was, that originally, there's an interesting, according to them, is a fascinating debate. But originally, they instituted a Takagzera based on miut, you know, and that didn't go, because it wasn't Rov. And now, they instituted it based on Rove. That's how the Ramban understands it. Okay, I mean, that's better. But even instituting a takana based on Rove, the Bichoshish based on Rove, I understand. But was this Ruba Kekula? Is there a Ruba Kekula here? Of the Kutim? I suspect maybe. That's what I'm saying. But we'll see in a moment what the Ramban quotes. But at least, wait, according to the Ramban, it's a way of avoiding Rashi. So what is the pshat in Rashi? So one possibility, it sounds like what Rashi's saying, is what he's saying, meaning it's like a gzera she'enat zibur yicholim la'amod bo. But it's not, you know, it sounds like a more principled thing like that, so it's a little bit shocking. Is it possible that Rashi means, in a few different ways to say it, I think, like something more basic? Ellie, what do you think? Itzy? We are? Yeah, sounds good, right? Michael?
Maybe, like, if they're more integrated in, and there's more reyes, so it reflects that, you know, they're accepting the gears in a better way, and they're the nation.
I mean, they're part of the nation. This whole thing is such a strange, you know, and somewhat disturbing, but also just just challenging, you know, thing to understand. We're talking about, again, if we're talking about policy, we're talking about policy. But if we're talking about something bigger than policy, or even a big policy, then, like, we really need to understand this. Like, what does it mean to have a whole community that was accepted as Gerim in Klal Yisrael, and then to turn around one day and to exclude them, chase them away? Right? So it could be that Rashi's saying, it could be that Rashi's just saying it practically. They weren't going to do it. And then maybe they should be subject to the criticism of the Tzlach and the implicit, you know, criticism of the Ramban, etc. But maybe Rashi meant more than that. Maybe Rashi meant that the policy of not doing it because they were all part of the fabric of Jewish society. I think there are different ways to say that, is that they couldn't do it. I'll say it in the most, you know, fundamental way. In other words, the reality was that they were part of this whole point is that they have to be perceived as not living up, right, to the standards of Kedushas Yisrael, right? And that has to be assessed both on a Elokoich Elokoi level, but also on perhaps on an Amech Ami level. So, you know, if they're part of the fabric of Jewish life, you know, then maybe this shouldn't happen. Or I want to escalate a little more. Maybe it can't happen. Maybe the ingredients that make possible this extraordinary thing are actually not there. I mean, part of it is that they're not living as Jews, and they're not living as part of Jewish society. Right? They're not, you know, bichlal, they're Porish Minatzibor in their behavior, you know, but if they're not, and they're not perceived that way, then maybe you could still have some policy things, but you can't do more than that. I wonder. Yeah?
There was, like, Sam and Ezra with Bob Carey, that it just wasn't accepted, so it didn't work.
That's what Einat Tzibur Yicholim Lamod. Right. It could be that. It could be something like that. But then they say that, kind of. This is a little bit more, number one, the stakes are a little higher. And they're not, the Rashi is saying, Ein Gozer Gzeira La Tzibur Sheinam Yicholim Lamod. Maybe that's what he means. That's really how the Tzlach and the others understood it. I just don't think he's necessarily saying that. I think what he's saying is, they just were part of the fabric of Jewish life. So, you know, de facto, they're part of the Jewish community. You know, but once that wasn't the case, you know, their Amei Chami wasn't going to save their Olakai Chalakai. Maybe the real thing is the Amei Chami, even. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm coming from a place of just trying to understand, like, where they kind of went off the derech almost, because it seems like if we were explaining Rashi right now, that they were with the fabric of the nation. And then
but their behavior was still problematic.
But it seems as though that their behavior only got, like, increasingly worse later on. So
right.
At a certain point, there was, like, a mute, a small group.
No, I'm saying at this point also, remember, this is current with the story of that they're, what's the language here? You know, they're not Yirei Elokim. Where does it go? They're not B'nai Torah. What is it? How's it? In Bal Nefesh Atal Proshe Menu, right? Because Leis Kan Shomrei Torah, right? I mean, they're obviously the behavior is really problematic, but they're still perceiving themselves, are perceived by others, you know, have interactions with the Jewish community. I'm just saying, instead of that being one way to understand Rashi, which is certainly the way that Rashi was usually understood, and I admit the simple shot, is that we're saying, like, it was too hard for them, like, these were their, they dealt with these people all the time, and they were part of the Jewish community, and, like, to tell them they couldn't do it, or they wouldn't do it. And I'm saying it's more than that. Maybe the whole idea is that this is all about, are they Jews or are they not Jews? And to the extent, if minimally at least they're perceived that way, because there are interactions of a certain level, then it's not warranted to do that. Or maybe, you know, from a policy point of view, or maybe even in terms of the capacity to do it. I mean, what I'm saying is mechudash. I know. but I'm trying to conceptualize, I guess. Right. I do think that whether I'm right about Rashi or wrong, that I'm right about some of the factors that go into this, and I think Karen Ora says something like this about, you know, the Shvatim in Yavamos. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. But, all right, does that answer the question?
I wanted to preface it. Yeah, I wanted to, like, could you connect the dots between the degree of Rabbi Meir to then, like, in the Ramban, who says over time there was more deviant behavior that occurred, that once they were declared as outsiders, even though it was difficult for them to separate, that over time, the way that the Kutim perceived their relationship with...
I mean, that caused them to be more Mekupa?
Yeah, I
don't know. I mean, is that, that's always a possibility. And, you know, there's no indication of that in the Ramban. The Ramban is not, you know, sympathetic at all. He's saying, like, you know, they got a few, you know, policy restrictions. And, you know, then they were even worse, you know. Or just they got worse. He definitely doesn't imply... you know, that the policy restrictions pushed them over the edge. You know, he definitely wasn't blaming the Klal Yisrael parts. Yeah. So I think it's curious, but I don't really see that. Yeah.
I was also thinking a little differently, like taking away from Amir Hami. Just like, is it, how much do we invest in like Jewish society culturally, like kind of culturally ideologically, as reflecting and also like creating greater commitment to mitzvahs? Like the fact that they started to be Poresh may also just reflect and also create the fact that their commitment to like the entire like system of higher mitzvahs probably like.
It could be. I mean, it's narrower, just how committed they were.
Meaning, it's not just an Amechami thing. Like, it's very often we find with like Jewish civilization.
Right. I'm only emphasizing. I only mean to emphasize that since Rashi says Hari Regilim Bahem.
Right.
You know, Lorato the Kabbalah Lifrosh Minakuti to show you Regilim Bahem.
You're saying the Regilim Bahem itself is the problem. I'm just saying the fact that they're not Regilim is symptomatic of their.
Or they're less Regilim. Maybe. Or maybe it's just, again, this is like to do this is not easy. Okay, where are we? Zach, you're doing a good job, so. Okay, a lot of, this is of course a very problematic Tosfos Eruvin. Here, the Ramban, very problematic. What is this, a new phenomenon? This should have been even without all these gzeros, it should be like tzedukim. And this is a big issue. We'll discuss it in a minute. Ketzad, go ahead. Okay. So basically, but this is it, right? Okay. So, again, we're left with a lot of questions. So let's talk very briefly. Let's first talk, read the Ramban, if you don't mind, Zach. You have the Ramban with you? Let's talk about the Rashi, the Ramban, and Tosfos Rid first, and then we'll talk about some of the broader things quickly. You might need a few minutes Thursday, but mostly Thursday I want to start analyzing the Gemaras about Momar, and then from there I'll give you more specific Mar Makomas to look at. But I told you already, look at the Mar and Horios, right, the Nevada Zara, Tosfos Nevada Zara, the Rambams. So we'll start with that. Okay. Zach, you have the... Ramban?
Yes.
You don't even have to say anymore. You just, by saying that, like, which one do you think?
I loved all of them.
Yeah, they're all good. Okay, let's start with the first one quickly. So this is just great, you know, again, we can't spend too much more time because we need to move on, but this is great, you know, opening for us, right? What do you think about that? Sorry, what do they do zoom in on that?
Well, they zero in on Shechita
V'Yayin Nesach. What would you say about that? The Ramban's asking.
Well, I think that's a good question. I think that's a good question.
this question. Why would the Gemara mention Shkita V'Yayin Netzach? Meaning what? So, I'm saying, what's the answer to the question? Okay, go ahead. Okay, keep going. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can get it in the next line. Venerally. Oh, okay. So that's his take. Meaning, in Achanami, Shkita V'Yayinetzach is the embodiment of Doraisas. But it doesn't mean you could have been Mechalek between Doraisas and Drabanans. Okay. But of course, what I want to, just in terms of pushback, is that maybe Shkita and Yayinetzach represent, right, a certain specific aspect of Kedushas Yisrael. Again, Yayin Netzach, of course, in its connection to Avodah Zarah. And Shechita, as we've been discussing, again, the Ger Toshav is defined, according to some, by his, by the fact that he's still Ochol Nevelos. And Achilos Nevelos and Shechita is a symptom of Kedushas Yisra. So, yeah. Right. So then, why? So then it challenges the distinction between Doraisas and Draban. Very good. So maybe alternative to the Ramban is to say yes. Right. There's a hierarchy, even within Doraisas, in terms of the level of Kedushas Yisrael that we're willing to rely upon Kutiyim. Okay. So that's number one. Very good. I like that, Raya. Rashi Piresh. Oh, so what's the answer to that? Again, this is based on an assumption, the Ramban is based on an assumption that what? Or that we're dealing with the Ramban is assuming we're dealing with like Gavra, all or nothing status. Right? And therefore, what we're saying is, he's saying, I don't understand how you could distinguish, in the way that you're distinguishing. If you're Choshesh Lemiut, then you have to be Choshesh, for these dinim, Doraisa. Right? Ma'akr Shematzol Sov De'Avarazara, right? Bevadai Nechshol Kol Yisurin Shabbatorah. However, who says that at this point it's a din gavra? And here's again where what I mentioned before may be true. But at the end of the sugya, we still have to evaluate that. The Gemara says that gazru that they are goyim gemurim, right? And it sounds like everything, because they're applying it to everything. But at the beginning of the sugya, when it sounds like they haven't yet extended it to everything, it may just be about policy, or it may be about certain aspects or dimensions of Kedushas Yisrael. Just because in the end it's a din, or even then, maybe it's not, but it sounds like it's a din of the Gavra. Put it this way. I will say like this. The Pashtus in the beginning of the Sugya, it sounds like this is a more limited halacha, and it's about certain dinim. Whether policy or levels of Kedushas Yisrael, that's, I think, an open question. In the end of the Sugya, again, you might reevaluate both, but in the end of the Sugya, when everything is on seemingly thrown into all this, it sounds like they took away their status as Jews. So it's not, they didn't say, not this, not this, not this, not this, ad infinitum. They didn't do 613 not thises, and then start with the drabanans. They said, you don't have any Kedushas Yisrael. Right? But what the Rabban is saying is, well, you have to be consistent that they made them, you know, goyim gemurim on a daraisas or not, or in general. And Rashi will probably tell you, no, they just, you know, they neutralize this and they neutralize that. So already in these discussions, you have these perspectives. Yeah. Because of the instead of saying it has the 3-4, yeah. So we'll get to that. Right. That's the other side of it. Right. And the question is, oh, even drabanans, you know, or even these kind of drabanans, which don't have to do with kedusha, they have to do with kashash, not kashash. I'm sorry, but with you know, yachal, you know, lilmod mehem, which is what some of the mefarshim say, including the Ramban. So that's how they neutralize that. Or it's a way of saying, no, it's piecemeal in the end, too. It's just a bigger piecemeal. Right. But this is the question. And as I'm saying, the more, whether it's in the Havamina, you know, or the Maskana, the more we think we really took away their Kedushas Yisrael, you know, fully, or even meaningful parts of it, and Doraisa, and Lekula Lechomra, the more this is an astonishing, you know, paradigm that really needs to be understood. The more we think it's all limited, you know, and based on certain mechanisms, and maybe limited, you know, in scope, but also, you know, in some cases to policy, so it's still a remarkable thing. Like, what are the Chachamim, you know, what was their thinking? Why would they do this? What were they trying to protect, values-wise? Still fascinating. But at least it's not this idea, you know, that you can really go to the core of Kedushas Yisrael and definitions. Okay. So I think the Shaka Vatari of the Ramban is very interesting. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, that's his historical proof. Okay. Okay, yeah. Certainly he's also so far understanding that the din of Rabbi Meir is a chashash, or is based on the chashash. It's an extension of the chashash. He's not understanding what I was saying a little while ago, which is that the chashash of Rabbi Meir, right, turns into a chalos, you know, that affects the group. Okay, that's why I think the Ramban, also because he's about to reject Rashi or wants to reject Rashi, you know, ends up understanding that in the later phase of the Gemara, it had to go to Rove. Okay, so read the next one. Hadam Rinan.
Hadam Rinan, Lokim Uminayu. There in the mission, the Enu Ahab God, the Rove Mishim Yehuda. Lokim Uminayu, the Zabra of Rabban, the Lokashim
Yehuda. You're just wondering, and what were they originally thinking?
Right.
I mean, they really all held their Kerbeir? Or it's what I said before, what the Rambam says in that Tshuva, that they were paskim v'garkmer l'gabe zeh. And if so, because of some chumra and policy, or because what they're really saying was, oh, if there's a miut that's doing this, this is what I really want to say, if there's a miut that's doing this, then this miut is kakula. Meaning they're not all doing this, but it characterizes them as a group. Typically we won't say, you know, miuta kakula, right? And you couldn't even ever say miuta kakula if you didn't think that there was some sort of a chalos of miut. But if there really is, you know, so everybody doesn't have to be, if you talk about the, you know, the validity of a certain group, and let's say not all of them are involved in this, you know, terrible behavior, but they're a unit, they're a group, you know, and there's a group, and within the group there's a population, you know, that's kind of, that spills over into the rest of the group attitudinally, you know, in terms of their own self-image, in terms of whether or not they're good ambassadors, you know, for Kedushas Yisrael. That's kind of what I'm wondering. So then, right, you don't necessarily have to paskin like Rabbi Meir, as long as you, as I say, acknowledge one aspect of Rabbi Meir's, you know, doctrine, and that is that a miut is a chalos. It's not a kamisheino. So even for Rabbi Meir saying ruba kamiyuta is a chiddush. Once you say it for Rabbi Meir, not so terrible to say it for the Chachamim. The Ramban doesn't have any of that. The Ramban's like taking a very straightforward approach here. Ramban saying, we're choshesh. But we're only choshesh Rabbi Meir. We don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. So then what happened in Doras Achronim? Go ahead. So it sounds like, now is there any evidence? First of all, the Mechta is interesting. He says Rov. The Rashba in Tarsa Bayis, if you got a chance to look at it, says, oh, call. Well, it reminds us a little bit of the Ra'ah on Roman Tzvi Neitzel Shkita Mumchene. Right? It wasn't call. Really, was it? But I think the point is, right, Machtza, Rove, call. Again, one way to look at it is, again, how big is the Chashash? Call can't be right. I suspect that what's going on is, okay, we're not going to say Miuta Kukula, because we generally don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. Maybe Rabbi Meir is not going to say Miuta Kukula. Maybe he never did. He was just really saying Choshen Lemiut. But once there's Rov, then we can say Rova Kukula, and then we could call it Kol, kind of like the Ra. Okay. But what's fascinating is the Chen Matzasi B'Yerushalmi, did it really escalate? Go ahead. Kesarin, right? Kesaria, yeah. Right. Bo, Rabbi Bo. Yeah. Okay. Does it say anywhere that they were Rov doing Avodah Zarah? No. The Ramban assumed that the issue is Avodah Zarah. I assume the Ramban assumed that it's Avodah Zarah. This is another way to think about, perhaps, I think the Rashbash says this, it could be that the miut, even in the first stage, and maybe even now, it was miut over the Avodah Zarah. But A, the fact that, somehow was acceptable, to the whole group was significant. It spills over into characterizing them. Or maybe that also requires some, improper behavior for the rest, just not Avodah Zarah. What the Yerushalmi says is kilkaltem. Doesn't necessarily mean, kilkul of Avodah Zarah. Right? Maybe in the beginning it was a few of the Avodah Zarah. Everybody else was pretty okay. And then in the end, there was still, maybe a minority of the Avodah Zarah. But even the rest were mekulkalim. And we're trying to assess this whole group as a known unit with a certain history. And maybe that history, is just what makes them identifiable, or maybe it even contributes in a substantive way to their status. I'm not sure. That's my speculation. But the Yerushalmi doesn't necessarily prove what the Ramban says. That's really what I'm trying to say. Go ahead. Alma b'pneisha kilkulu maseim yosem mishalav aseim. That part is for sure true. Usha gazal lefika kibla belomina rishonim. Ava Rashi kasav. Oh, he said, according to Rashi, he's not asking the Tzlatz question, like, what? Why didn't they rise to the occasion? Right. He's saying, if it's still only a miut, so we don't paskin. Maybe Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Gamliel paskin to koshin lemiut. But again, the Rambam will tell you, right, that even if you don't paskin to koshin lemiut, right, the miut's behavior is important here. Okay. So that's, again, these are very, I think, acute issues. Then finally, you have the last one. Right, what's the last one? Where the question is, what does Shvisa in Eruv Chatzeros have to do with this Gzeira? Right? And the answer is, not really so much, but it's the formulation of Kegoy Gomor, or maybe to, even according to the Mandomar Tzedukim, wouldn't have the status. Okay, that's Ramban. Okay. The Tosis Rid, right? Also, did you get a chance to see Tosis Rid, Zach? Okay, we'll stop in 1 minute. What Tosis Rid? Chiddush in the Sugya? Tosis Rid wipes the whole thing out. Here, at least. Ah, exactly. Obviously, with trouble, Tosis Rid, like, what's going on here? Like, no one's going to get out of this sugya unscathed, you know, in terms of saying big things, mostly. Right? So Tosfos Rit says something pretty big, if you accept it. You know, but conceptually it's not big. So what does he say, basically? Zach, you said before, correct? Yeah, read the key lines. I mean, this was all, but first of all, it sounds like motivation. That's important in the Tosfos Rit, right? Sincerity of motivation. But basically, what he's saying is that the Vav is connected, you know, to the Psukim and Malachim and the, you know, and the whole discussion, Geri, MS, Gemi, Arias, etc. It is connected to that. And it is, so from Mochiach al Tkilasa Limafreya, the Chiddush is, that doesn't sound my way in the Gemara, right? And the Kiddush is that you can, time-wise, right, keep everything open that long? Now again, is it Lemafreya, Lemafreya, or is it Mikanu Laba, Lemafreya? Or is it just Mikanu Laba? That's not so clear in Tosfos Rit. But at least according to Tosfos Rit, there is no din, you know, that at a certain point, not even in policy, but certainly not more fundamentally, you know, that the Chachamim could just say no more. They can determine, you know, Igloi Milsa L'mafreya, right, based on evidence now, assuming that it really does reflect. It's just problematic because we're talking about different generations even. Right. So I still do think that there might be an element here of, you know, you never say this about it. Obviously, an individual wouldn't be there. You're treating them like a community, and I suspect not only are you treating them like a community, again, you could say, oh, treat them like a community only in the sense that for an individual, you know, once he's no longer alive, obviously, that's it. But for a community, even if the original members are no longer alive, maybe there's a chalos community. It's interesting, because the issue is they became members of Klal Yisrael, so they retained their status as a community? But this is exactly my point, and that is, they came in as a community, they were problematic as a community, they might have been kulas as a community, might have been chumras as a community. So the tziruf, in looking at them, continuing to look at them as a community, even after the original members are no longer there, I mean, they're chidushim in this Tosfos Rit. What's not mechudash in the Tosfos Rit is there's no din that you just take away somebody's chidushis Yisrael, not in policy, and certainly not in principle. Point to this Tosfos Rit. But the idea of treating them as a community, as an entity, even after so long, and of focusing on motivation, that is a Chiddush, the Tosfos Rit. I just don't know. Like, what happened in between? What about all the people they married? What about all the wine that, you know, their grandparents touched? You know? What about all that? I don't know the answer. If it's about, like, figuring it out, then it should be Lemafreya, Lemafreya. Right? If it's just about, oh, this community's been on, you know, on kind of a gray area where, you know, it's you know, it's like a Breira. Well, Breira can be a Lemafreya or a Mikana Alba Lemafreya. Forget Breira. It can be like, you know, this, it's like a work in progress. You know, they're still integrating. Maybe. That could be Mekana Lamba? Yeah.
What's the next step of Gemara? Is he saying it on the second step?
Who, say again?
He's not saying this on the going Gemurim step later on in the Gemara. So what's the...
He does think they're going Gemurim, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. So what's the Rabbani Rabbasi at?
Maybe also Drabanans, or maybe... I'm not sure.
If it's Iguay Nils of Mafra, the Lashway Shim Shaman Padre,
here. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I know he does say it a few places that they're going to move.
Yeah.
But I hear that. I hear your question. I mean, what do they add at all? It's just that they're not they're going. End of story. Unless maybe it's this question, like what about what the fact that, you know, but yesterday were they still in terms of what he doesn't say everything Lamafreo is no good.
Yeah, I mean he doesn't say that later either,
so. Right. So maybe that's what it has to do with. I'm not sure. Not sure? It's a good question. Okay, I think we have to stop. Sorry. So what I want to do is I want to finish up the following things. So there's a huge debate here, in addition to Tosfos Rit, in between the Tosfos Rit there's still a big debate whether this is about policy or about, you know, negating Kedushas Yisrael. And on both levels, I think, although if it's about policy, then certainly the likelihood of distinguishing between L'chumra and L'kula is very, very attractive. I'm not saying it has to be that way, but it's very likely to be that way. Because if you still have Kedushas Yisrael, how do you tamper with the definitions? So one would think that this would be limited L'chumra, meaning G'kagayim L'chumra, but not L'kula. Whereas if they really, you know, strip them of their Kedushas Yisrael, that should be Bein L'kula, Bein L'chumra. Right? So that is a major debate, clearly. So I told you, if you just look at the Tshuva HaRashbash, the Beis Yosef in a couple places, the Shach and the Chavos Das. But I also am interested in some of the formulations, a little bit, the Ksam Sofer and Siman Lamed Tes, in the Chos Tefillin, and the Keren Ora on the Ten Shvatim. Again, a few things, a few other things I told you to look at. So I do want to finish with that Thursday before we start Mumar. So again, I want to do the overview of Mumar L'Teyavon and Mumar L'Hakas first, and then I'll add more things to look at. And then after that, we'll move on to Davar Echad. Well, Davar Echad will be part of this. And then Avodah Zarah, Shabbos, etc. And then hopefully we'll get out of here.